spirits catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the early morning that we discuss everything that affects our bread and butter, what is happening domestically, what is happening regionally, continentally, and at an international fora. What is happening, particularly regarding bread and butter and everything that, you know, allow us as a country, allow us as a region to move forward and also to contribute positively to the advancement not only of our country but also shaping the better world that we want. So we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM Namibia. And it's the 5th of February, and it's 5 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are indicating to you that we are here with you until the hour of 8, and here is where we present and we discuss critical issues, especially in the morning. And we are saying every time that you are waking up, you must be grateful, you must be thankful. And the energy that you have today, you are not going to have that energy in the next 20 years, or maybe the next 5 years, or maybe in the next 2 years. That's why it's always good to be the best of what you can be every time, every moment, so that you will not regret when the time comes and you do not have that energy anymore. And you know, we are at the beginning of the year, although we are saying we are already almost in the middle of the year, because after February business has already started, and it's business unusual. A lot of things are happening, and we are going to look at those things, especially when it comes to Namibian development. Make sure that you know, you don't also just look at yourself. You must also look at others. Because when you are moving through this journey of life, you must be able to understand that for you to move very far, you need to work with people, and you need a very great team that can be able to assist you to reach your intended goal. That's why when in your plan of 2026, you did not include people. Remember that you don't have a plan. You just have, you know, a dream that is not going to materialize if you do not include people. That is why it's always good to understand that every time that you are waking up, there is one statement that I cannot record it on top of my head, that one of known wise men who ever lived, Marcus Aurelius, every time that he's waking up, he's asking to say, you know, God gave me power to work with people. I know people are different, difficult, but if you give me that wisdom, then it's better than everything that I will ask. Remember, this is a guy who was the most powerful emperor in Rome. He was not a king, was not a chief, he was an emperor. He was the king of kings on earth. And he was also scared of working with people, because people are not easy to understand. And when you master that skill, there is nothing that is going to stop you in life. And you also make sure that when you are waking up, don't only waking up on yourself, but also understand that you are going to work with other human beings, so that you will be able also to get where you want to get into, and also to work as a community. In fact, you are not exist as an individual. We may think we exist as an individual, but we are all existing. We are coexisting with others. And for us to stand the way we are standing now, for us to wear what we are wearing, it's because of other people. And when you understand that, it's easier for you to navigate that aspect of life. And yeah, because today we are going to speak about you know, governance, government summit that is happening in Dubai. It's quite also interesting, especially when we are speaking about the economy, speaking about property rights, we are speaking about national resources, You must be able to understand that when you just look around you, and you look around you, you see most of the things that we have built as human beings is either to protect properties and against what? It's not against natural disasters, but protection of properties from other human beings. Look at objects that sophisticated objects. You can look at weapons. You can look at cameras. You can look at bulletproofs. You can look at the door frames, armored cars, everything that is running the economy, especially at the international affairs now. They are made just because of another human beings. And one humanitarian was asking me to say, look, why certain countries are spending more money on war, but they are not spending money on providing food for people. And what you need to understand is that human beings did not just come today. They've been around for quite a very long time. And in that aspect, people defend their interest and the interests of their country. That's why we are indicating to say for us to move forward in as a country, we need to make sure that we defend and also protect the interests of Namibia and also the interests of generations to come. So before we look at what we have, especially when it comes to continental affairs, then we'll be able to look into Namibia, particularly touch a little bit on Petroleum Amendment Bill that is being debated. Then we'll come to the content of the conversation. It's quite important to understand that this is not a one-directed conversation. It's a conversation that you can engage, conversation that you'll be able to bring one or two. Because as a country, we are at a point where running away from difficult conversation is no more what we do. Or running away from difficult conversation become a thing of the past because we are at a critical juncture where we see that who is going to drive, how are we going to finalize the project or the last JEP of 2030 that is under NDP-6? How are we going to develop our country? And we are at a critical point where debate is intense, and we should look at long term. We should look at issues. We should not look at a person, but let us look at the policy, and also look at how we are going to do things. Because what I have observed and what I have seen is that when I bring about something on the table, it's not about me. It's about the content of that document. That's why the debate must be intense, must be civilized, and we see. And we are expecting a lot of good things, particularly in terms of the law, because it looks like the parliament these days is awake, and that is what it was supposed to be, what it should have been. But looking ahead, I think it's an interesting year ahead. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and we'll be able to move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle FM.
Ifurani ngelo wapungwa Eva tere urikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile oshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Minuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa komarudi. Dayoloka, opone ushendi fenawa, lokumuna oijamweli nawa, ninge pata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile konderewa, mura etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, oma filane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And looking at what is happening in Africa. Before that, let us look at Mixdown. Then we look at Nigeria and the U.S., particularly the deployment of...
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fetlook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Yeah, it is indicated that Washington have deployed the small, deployed a small team of U.S. forces in Nigeria, especially to assist Nigerian government to fight jihadists. And prediction are indicating to say it's the Delta Force, to train one Delta Force man, you need millions of dollars. Because these are one of the highly trained military officers in the U.S. Army, and indicating that they have deployed a small team in Nigeria. It also shows the relationship between Tinubu and also Donald Trump, especially fighting jihadists. Because looking at last year, there was a bit of a debate, especially between the U.S. government and also Nigerian government, because at one point U.S. government wanted to deploy it, whether through approval or no approval, especially when it was regarding the perception to say there was a genocide of Christians in Nigeria. But agreement have came, especially between the government of Nigeria and also the government of U.S. to deploy small military team in Nigeria from Washington, especially which was confirmed by head of U.S. Africa Command. And the aim is to move and coordinate the Nigerian government and also strengthening effort against terrorists, and especially at the north. If you look at the Niger state, there have been a lot of kidnapping of hundreds and hundreds of Christians and also pastors. In Nigeria, have been fighting jihadists for a very long time, since 2016 there. Then the Nigerian Defense Minister has also confirmed the presence of personnel, but did not provide further details, because these things are a bit secret. You cannot inform that you have provided 10,000 military personnel, or 100, or 5, because the jihadists are also watching. They are also on TV, but just understand that the boots of American military personnel are on the ground, especially when it's come to Nigeria, in assisting to fight the jihadist. And we see how things are going to turn out, because at one point Nigeria was saying they are going to stand on their own, but it seems like these guys are sophisticated. Seems like when it comes to jihadists, they are sophisticated. There was also a time where Emmanuel Macron also indicated the intention of assisting. But let's hope this will bring the jihadists to the final conclusion. Let's hope things are going to be better. But deploying military personnel from the U.S. in Nigeria, does it only come with, because what we need to ask is that, we need to ask a person to say, in a time of national economic interest, what are you paying? What are you paying? And we should not shy away from this question to say, when a foreign power is coming to assist me, what is the gain? When a foreign power is coming to assist me, what am I losing and what am I giving? And it's not wrong for a country to enter into a certain agreement, particularly security agreement. But there must also be a clear line to say, you are going to stay here for how long? And this is how you are going to assist me. You are going to give me the technical know-how, or you are going to give me equipment, and for how long and at what price? Because what we need to understand is that in the world that we are living in, there is nobody who can come and assist you for free. I remember last year, there was one official from, I think it's from FNB, was discussing something on a panel discussion. And that lady made a very great point to say, why do you think we can just dish money to you? Even your own parents are not giving you money for free. Because we are in business. And it started making sense to me to say, it's the world that we are living in to say it's a give and take. You are negotiating. Even if you see the lowest of the lowest, if you see the beggars, there is a certain way that which I don't like calling people, the beggars in the street, they are also negotiating. If one get a bread, one is also negotiating to say, you are giving me this piece, I have $2 here, you are giving me this one, I give you water. Even exchanging with, they are trading. Because it's a give and take. No one can just come and give you something for free. That's why when somebody's assisting you, at least try also to assist yourself and also help a person too. We should not just ask, but we should also give what we can do best. But let's see how the developments are going to be, how things are going to be, especially when it comes to Nigeria. It seems like Nigeria finally agree, especially getting assistance from the US. And they say this is a small team, but you don't know, you don't fight the jihadists with a small team. But it's also maybe the language of military to say we are there, but we are not yet there. Because once you say we send 20,000, then the jihadists will equip themselves. But if you say it's a small team, maybe it's also a strategy, because these things of military people do not communicate in a clear language. But what we know is that the US is in Nigeria, and not for the Nigerian government. You must be listening properly. They are there to assist the jihadists, to assist the removal of jihadists, or to assist fighting of terrorism. And that is what has happened. Yeah, on the other side again, on the United States of America, it was indicated yesterday that United States President Donald Trump has extended the 26-year-old free trade agreement with Africa, that is AGOA, that is Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, that started in 2000. This initiative started during the Clinton administration, and the good thing about AGOA is that it's allowing the African states to participate in the U.S. market with the exception of tariffs. And that is what Africa have been waiting for. And now maybe the question that we should ask ourselves is to say, one thing that you must be very clear too is that the world cannot live without Africa, but can Africa live without the world? What is Africa getting from the world? Because Trump can say one thing. It's a saying to say, Caesar do what he did not say and say what he did not do. And Trump becomes so, and Trump administration is very difficult to predict on what will happen. And it's just surprising everybody. You think he hates you. Tomorrow he's giving you a bread. Tomorrow he's not giving you anything. The other day you are, sitting with him. It's quite a very interesting, a president to look into, to say, he's not naive. He understands how the economy is working. He also understands that even if they are pressuring Russia, China, and South Africa, they have where they are meeting, and do not think they are enemy when they are fighting. And that is only about interest. But you will be able to realize to say, extension of AGOA with 1 year, what does it mean? Is it really to get people out of balance? But yeah, let us look at the short commercial break, then we can go further.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
any tete ofoiwe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike ko vanu hile ko shiwanya. Kono ngeshefa ya kumbwa kukaraya ko vanu. Akupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Akupitira oipindi konu honda doi inawa. Mune ujo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi gayo loka. Opono ushenjife nawa nukumuna oijamweli nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onmura itatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, let's move forward. We are speaking about extension of AGOA that was extended with 1 year. By the administration of Donald Trump. And maybe it's also now the time for Africans also to learn our lesson. Learning our lesson. Because there was a lot of panicking. There was a lot of crying to say. Especially there was a time Kenya was saying, no, people are going to lose 60,000 jobs. And please, let's go. And we are discussing with Trump and all these things. But this would also teach us a lesson to say, okay, we are given an opportunity to trade one extra year. What are we learning? Because you were already tested that this relationship is not going to last for a very long time. And it only depends on the interest. What are you doing within that year? And the same question that we should ask Namibia, to say when you are in a relationship, for example, with our good friend Russia, when you are in a relationship with Japan, China, Zimbabwe, and everybody, what are you learning from that? Because even person-to-person relationship come to an end. Love relation come to an end. Things come to an end. And what are you learning from that? What is necessary is that, okay, can you really say, okay, thank you, Donald Trump. AGOA has come to an end. We have learned our lesson. We have built these industries. Now you are also trading with us at our own time. Or just to say, there is a lot of prediction to say, end of this agreement. It's only about Africa. It's only about Africa, but US never talk about that. But remember that US have also advisors. Donald Trump is not naive. He has advisors. He has economic advisors, security advisors. And when he is presenting decisions, he thought about that already. Because that is a decision of the America. But it's an interesting thing. Let's see how we are going to learn from this bread that come back. At one point it fell from our mouth. Let's see how we can learn and move very fast, especially in strengthening our economy. So that's one of the conversation which needs to be expanded, especially looking at extension of AGOA and looking into South Africa. In South Africa here, they stated that the leader of the second largest party is Africa, that is Democratic Alliance, announced yesterday that he will not seek re-election in major shake-up ahead of local polls, because when we are looking at the politics of South Africa, we're only focusing on ANC and MK and EFF, but you understand that politics is politics and it's everywhere. And the leader of one of the leaders of a coalition, and the head of DA, decided that he's not going to seek for re-election. And that is Mr. Steenhuisen, and he's also serving as a minister of agriculture, at National Unity, or at the government of National Unity. And he indicated he would not run for the third term at the party election in April. And he decided to focus on foot and mouth outbreak leverage at local stocks. And, you know, I think there is also a break in, it's also factionalism in DA. It's also factionalism in DA. Because if you look at the history of DA, how it has been, you understand that there is also a little bit of factionalism. It's a little bit of function. Because it's a party that was led by Musi Maimane. And a lot of people are saying, no, That is not your body. You are just a face. It's a liberal party. It's a liberal party and pro business. And it's also representing majority of not only the white Afrikaners, but the business community. And one of the most influential parties also, when you look at South Africa. But it seems like they also have their own problems to deal with.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, and to see what will happen. Because then as the Minister of Agriculture, I said no. His focus now is on foot and mouth disease outbreak, and it's not to look for re-election and see which candidate is going to be redeployed, because we are interested in what is happening in South Africa, because the next head of DA or the federal leader, as has been called, has influence in not only South Africa but in Namibia. Looking at the current you know, arrangement in South African government, particularly with the government of national unity. And who is going to be deployed? It's Meme Helen Zille. It's going to be deployed the federal secretary, the most powerful leader in DA. And the one who have been calling the shots. Let's see what will happen, especially in days to come, when Steenhuisen decided to say no. It's not going to run anymore. It's going to look for other, it's going to focus on other things, particularly within the portfolio that, he is given. And, is this an opportunity for EFF to become, the opposition? Or is going to be another blow? Because, South African politics is very interesting. It's very interesting. Today you are aligning with this one. Tomorrow you are aligning with another person. And looking at that aspect is that the number that you have is not only the number that you are going to have, because today you are official opposition, tomorrow there is another opposition. And let's maybe see what will happen. Is this going to be what has been predicted by analysts such as Prince Mashele, to say South Africa is going to be led by a coalition for the next 20 years? And he's one of the very interesting guys who, you know, at one point was a speech writer for Thabo Mbeki. And Prince Mashele is a very interesting guy, because he is a guy who predicted South Africa, not only through analysis, but he wrote a book about the end of power in South Africa, particularly the end of ANC power. Then there is a guy who was criticized, especially when he looked at analysis and realized to say this guy, he did not only study, but he also good at comparing and analysis. And he predicted to say 2024 ANC will behave a certain percentage, but something that was predicted in 2013-2014, and the only miss with 1%, you realize to say it's not an easy guy. It's going to be what has been stated by Prince Marshall, or life will take its own course, especially looking at the future of politics of South Africa. And ANC has their own battle. African National Congress have their own battle. DA also have their own battles. And it was known to be one of the most organized parties in terms of governance, but they also have their own battles. Look at MK. They have their own battles. EFF, they also have their own battles to deal with. But it's a very interesting time to be alive, because it's transition. And that is development, because the intensity of the debate also define the moment where the countries are in terms of development. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll be able to look at what is happening, particularly at the World Summit that is ending today, especially when you look at what is happening in Dubai, especially in the context of the World Government Summit. And there have been a lot of summits, especially the beginning of the year. And a lot of people are also praising African leaders of navigating deep waters. Because when you look at the World Government Summit, it's not only about discussion of the future of global governance and also the future of governance in general. It's also about seeing and getting also an opportunity to engage leaders. And we see that we have head of executives, I mean heads of institutions, IMF, World Bank, World Trade Organization, European Bank, government leaders, business persons, and many other VIPs of the world. And a lot of people, they are looking at African leaders, because apart from panel discussions, especially on the future of governance, there is also engagement from the East, the West, and also there are interesting discussion. There was one discussion there from chairman of executive chair of IBM, and all the influential people are there. It looks like an extension of World Economic Forum with a different topic, looking into that aspect, and we're here to see who is sent from Namibia, or we are represented by ED and also Duma Boko. They are there. But in a short period of time, I would want you to listen, especially just a 10 minutes conversation, particularly when African leaders, they got into conversation with one of the U.S. journalists, especially regarding the future of Africa and some of the critical questions too, such as Africa and multilateralism, and also Africa and the relation to the East and the West. Because what is interesting is that Africa should continue being asked the question of who are your friends? Who are your friends? Are you working with us or are you working with the East? And it's a very difficult thing. There was a point where the late Nelson Mandela gave a diplomatic answer to say, a beggar does not have option. Stop, guys, stop asking me if either I'm a communist or I'm a capitalist. I do not have option. Me, I'm just focusing on how to develop my country. And that should be the point of everybody to say, is it ideological alliance or matter of what you want? And also be able to see that leaders such as Saidi Nagagwa is not new in diplomacy. It's not new. And people indicating that person like Nagagwa is not only smart, but experienced in politics, and avoiding traps has been part of his life. And surviving the politics of Zimbabwe, working under Robert Mugabe, and also navigating sanctions, and being in power for all those years, particularly in government, it's not an easy thing. You must learn a few things or two. And we're able to see the navigation of politics and economy. And one of the things that I think I'm very happy about Zimbabwe, and everybody should be very happy, and Zimbabwe should not be, you know, a country of mocking. And we are getting it wrong, because what Zimbabwe did is what other many African countries did not do. Apart from getting their land, Zimbabwe was able to maintain. The country did not turn into chaos. To them, it was a painful journey to where they are now. Because even if you pull out your investment now, they can still continue moving. And just for example's sake, I'm not saying I want it to happen. Imagine if we were at that period of sanction, how are we going to survive? If we are in sanction, how are we going to survive? If Zimbabwe has been in sanctions, but their youth unemployment is less than ours, they still maintain their airlines. They still have understandable electricity price. They are still intact. What would happen to us? We are not in sanctions, but we have been finding it very difficult to find a balance. Although maybe we have different backgrounds, but the point of argument is that there is a lesson to learn from Zim and many other countries. After a very short commercial break, you listen to the conversation of African leaders, especially at the World Governance Summit, navigating various topics, just 10 minutes conversation, then we'll be able to move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Alien.
If you are not going to be able to do this, you will be able to do this. 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 Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira o ipindi konu honda doi nawa minuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka oponi ushendi tenawa lokumona o ijaweri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onura isatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ine kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the R.
Yeah, be able to listen to the conversation, especially from MSM Mnangagwa. Also the conversation from with you know, Tucker Carlson is one of you know, influential figure in the US. He's a political activist and he's also a host of various shows, particularly on economics and politics. And and has been moderating high-level panels. You also see the conversation with Duma Boko, the president of Botswana, and also the president of Sierra Leone, that is Mr. Mada Julius. And, you know, African presidents, they represent us there. They are wearing very beautiful and shiny suits, representing the continent. And, you also understand that, we may have our own problem, but our brain did not leave us, because if you listen to this conversation, you can also be able to see that, we still have, African philosophy, although we're finding it very difficult also to navigate those deep water, especially the question of, are you East or West? Who is best? Because one of the questions that I think most of the African leaders are tired of being asked is, what is your relationship with China? What is your relationship with Russia? Especially from the West. And if you read between the lines, you'll be able to see that there is an indirect trade rivalries between the EU, China, Russia, and the West too. And at the center, who is the battlefield? The battlefield is Africa. And African president are also finding it very difficult also. Because that is a very difficult question to say. Who is with you? But we'll be able to listen and also give your judgment on what has happened and what you can learn too. So.
Gentlemen, thank you for doing this. It's awfully nice of you to do this. I'd just like to go right down the line. First to you, President Mnangagwa, again, thanks. In as clear terms as you can, I wonder if you would contrast your experience with China versus the Western powers. Do you think that Zimbabwe and other African countries to be totally blunt, get a better deal from Chinese investment than they have with Western powers over the past 150 years.
But my view is that initially, as we became independent,
Eshi wataloka umekwembelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipakete. Top score instant. Uyaita pufindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vainu milongo mbali na hamano. Wapo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findama ilo manu kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia o shipu ne mwono. Lando kashako oko KG mwe ile KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shiche ndeto SMS o shicha instant totumu kombali o neveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali kunumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano e mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Mills.
They have with Western powers. I wonder if you would contrast your experience with China versus the Western powers. Do you think that Zimbabwe and other African countries, to be totally blunt, get a better deal from Chinese investment than they have with Western powers over the past 150 years?
Well, my view is that initially, as we became independent, we had most of our development thrust was from the West. But as we evolved, we have also benefited from investment and cooperation from countries like China.
But what are, I mean, the basic structure seems the same. Foreign powers extract mineral wealth from various African countries, but do you think that the arrangement that Zimbabwe and other countries currently have with China is better or worse for Zimbabwe than it was under, say, the Brits?
I think the premises upon which you construct your question, I don't think is perfect.
Not surprised.
Yes, Zimbabwe is a sovereign state.
Yes.
You understand? And we move on the basis that gives us the best results of our resources. Whether it is relation with the West or the East, what is primarily important is what we ourselves as Zimbabweans are satisfied with. We don't need to please the West or please the East. We please ourselves.
Good. That seems like a good model for every sovereign country. President Biya, thank you for this. Do you think that there is a substantial difference? I'm just trying to understand from a Western perspective how the East does business in Africa versus how the West does, and it may be too sensitive a topic really even to talk about out loud, but to the extent you have a view you can share, would you?
I'm sure relations cannot be measured country by country.
Yes.
Relations depend on the historical background of countries between one country and another.
Yes.
That's the basis on which relations grow.
Yes.
And are nurtured. For us in Zimbabwe, yes, we are a former British colony, but we are very happy with the relations that have now developed with, say, countries like China and so on.
Yes.
Despite being a former British colony.
I think this may be one of these topics that's too difficult to talk about in public, so let me just ask you, President Biya, about one of the strengths of your country and the continent, which is its birth rate, which so far surpasses that of any other region in the world, and that seems like a strength. How has your country, Sierra Leone, but also many other countries in Africa, been able to maintain a birth rate at replacement when Europe, the U.S., Canada, lots of other parts of the world have not been able to?
Thank you very much. I think we are hard workers, and we work both in the day and at night. And
that is such great advice.
It is essential to have young people and to keep the birth rate at the right level so that there is sustainability in development. What we do today, or as leaders, we provide the enabling environment, provide them with the tools, the young people to navigate the world, which is extremely tough, complicated, and evolving and changing all the time. So it is our responsibility to bear that in mind. We have to plan ahead, be ahead of the curve to be able to replace accordingly so that we don't have a gap in our development process. So we have been busy producing as much as we can, a lot of good people, and we are investing in their education so that they are fit for purpose for a world that is becoming digital and, of course, going extremely to the edge of technological advancement.
If I could just ask you a quick follow-up to you, Mr. President. Do you keep track precisely of how many of your young, educated citizens leave and how many stay? Are you thinking hard about how to retain the smartest, most energetic people?
Definitely. In fact, what my administration did was to make sure that we provide basic primary and secondary education free of charge to the citizens. Every child born in Sierra Leone can go to school and finish high school without paying a penny. We don't just provide tuition, we also make sure that we provide other essentials to make it possible for, so that nobody has excuse not to go to school, because in the 21st century, without education, definitely you can't make it. And we do not just want to make it at the personal level, family level. We want to grow as a nation. We want to be useful citizens of West Africa, the community that I chair today. But we also want to be a useful citizens, global useful citizens that can contribute to the world. So we are taking stock of that, and we are educating them, equipping them. In fact, I call education as an equipment, a navigation equipment in a world that is becoming very, very complicated and complex.
Thank you. President Boko, as you look at young people in Botswana who are educated and energetic, what's your pitch to them? What's your argument to them to stay in Botswana, not go to South Africa, Europe, the United States?
Young people are generally innovative. They are entrepreneurial. They now have become digital natives, and that presents immense opportunities to them. These opportunities mean they can pretty much operate wherever they are, and they must, as a matter of course, remain within Botswana so that they can then spread their reach and influence to every part from Botswana. And so the opportunities that there are in Botswana, the training, the education, the acquisition of skills, the support, the environment that nurtures them and feeds and fuels their verve and vitality is what Botswana offers and what will power Africa. Africa generally is a very young continent with a median age of 19.3. Botswana's median age is 25. And so with such a population, Africa is poised to rule the world.
So what are your plans for the world once you rule it?
To make it fairer, to make it more equitable, to ensure that intellectual property is internalized in every part of the African continent, that innovation serves humanity, not just a predatory elite, and that everybody can partake equitably and benefit from the fruits of the economy and the vast opportunities that are available in the world.
Well, I look forward to being treated fairly under your rule. Thank you. President Nagawa, I wonder what lessons you've been in the government of Zimbabwe for decades in various roles, including through a very turbulent period where your predecessor famously kicked out the whites and then the economy tanked and now it's rising again. I wonder if you would summarize the lessons that your country has learned from that experience.
I'm not so sure what you have in mind. But let me say, our economy has faced challenges. I'm sure you're aware.
Yes.
Zimbabwe has been under sanctions for decades as a result of us claiming our land from the British and making ourselves independent. We seized the land and gave it to our people. So sanctions were imposed on us. But in spite of all that constraint we have developed, and we are happy that we have developed on our own, and we feel very independent.
Well, some of the land was seized from people who were born there. So I wonder if there's a lesson about targeting people on the basis of their skin color. Do you think?
Can I hear you?
Well, people had their land seized in Zimbabwe who were born in Zimbabwe, and they were targeted on the basis of their race, and I wonder if you think that's good or bad.
No. Land did not belong to a race. It
right.
belonged to
that's
Zimbabweans.
Right.
So when the colonialists took land from us, time came when we asserted ourselves, take back our land. And those who wanted to have land at the same basis as the African people of Zimbabwe remained. But those who felt the superior left.
Okay. Mr. Biel, it does seem like, Mr. President, that the model of government around the world seems to be changing, and people seem to have lost confidence in democracy, at least in the West. People aren't quite as keen to promote democracy. Do you notice this? Do you think democracy is in retreat around the world?
I think the world is in transition.
Yes.
And normally that comes along with instability. I normally refer to it as we are in a state of flux.
Yes.
We have been told to go democratic, and those who are leading the way or who have been teaching us to be democratic are no longer committed to that method of governance. So we are left to choose. But I still believe that democracy is the best method of governance, choosing who leads, especially a liberal democracy with all the freedoms that go with it, so that human rights and the and other liberties are observed and maintained. We remain committed to democracy, irrespective of the fact that there are now reversers, even in Africa, around the world. In fact, these days, when you listen to world news and other things, you hardly hear about democracy. You're very right. But we are committed to it because it is the best form until we can provide an alternative that can really sit well with us in society. We remain committed to democracy.
China only lifted itself out of abject poverty over the last 40 years. We've been free from colonialism now in Botswana for almost 60 years. We have had an affinity with the West because of the relationship, the special relationship that we've had with them. And China has only come in, and we relate with China on terms that we define ourselves. We look at what it is that China offers, what it is that we need, and we sit in as good a deal as we are able to negotiate in a situation where all the parties come to the table and present their offerings. So I think the relations are shaped largely by what the interests of these African countries, ourselves included, are.
Interesting. President Nagawa, what did you think of what happened in Venezuela last month?
Venezuela is very far from Zimbabwe.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir. But I wonder, I still wonder as a head of state, a longtime head of state, what you thought of that. You must pay attention to what happens to other heads of state.
Yeah, but I don't know what we really read in Zimbabwe actually happens in Venezuela. But from what we read, we are interested to know why it is happening.
President B, what did you think?
I was stunned, and I'm still stunned. It was so surreal.
Surreal.
But I still have to understand whether the world order, the rules-based society, is still existing. And if not, what becomes of the world? That's why I earlier described the state as we are in a state of flux. Because everything that we have understood as the basis for international order is fragmenting or being destroyed right in our face.
I'm sorry, it felt like an unfair question, but that's exactly more to the point what I'm asking. Is this a sign of a changing order? And I will end with you, President Booker. What was your response to it?
Well, I think we are seeing a world where rules seem to matter very little, and they matter only depending on who is benefiting from them and who is wielding the stick at any given point in time. We know that public international law respects territorial integrity, it respects the sovereignty of nations. And it also requires that the people of every nation state must exercise their self-determination. They must determine what happens within their borders. And to have external powers intrude and remove any head of state, regardless of what the circumstances are, I think it's something that is utterly shocking, and it is an affront to a rule-based international order. I think it must be described in starkly those terms and nothing pretentious.
Gentlemen, thank you for doing this and for your patience with my questions, and I really appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is what was happening at the World Government Summit in Dubai, especially looking at the discussion of African leaders. One thing about African leaders, you know, it's like that parent that is whipping you at home, but when you are seeing him or her shining outside, you have to support, or that kid who does not, or there's always that kid who does not do such good things at home, but when you see him or her at the pitch, you have to support, because it's our leaders. They may do good things to us at some point, or sometimes they can also do bad things to us. But seeing an African leader at an international platform, defining what Africans want, particularly from the point of the interest of their country, is very interesting. Because if you look at Emmerson Mnangagwa of Zimbabwe, and you also look at Duma Boko and Julius Maada of Sierra Leone, you'll be able to see that there is a common position. There's a common position, especially when it comes to where they want to get in terms of development. But one thing that you need to understand is that if you look beyond the questions, the world is interested to know, to say, what is the future of the African young people? Because everybody knows that we have the resources and we have the energetic young people. To say, at any point in time where you go in Africa, 7 out of 10 people that you meet are young people. That is already telling you to say 70% of the population of Africans are under the age of 30. That is telling you to say, with the resources, with education, we can be able to transform this continent. But it's very interesting to see, especially when the conversation, particularly from Taka, directing these African leaders about the international affairs, to say, what do you think about West and East? But the good answer that was given is that the interest of, like what I was given by Mnangagwa, is the interest of Zimbabweans come first. We are not here to please anybody. In a beautiful, calm, and respectful way, to say we are not doing this for you. If we are friend with Russia or friend with US, we are not doing it to make this country fight. It's the same way. Why are we not asking that question to say, what is are you with Africa or you are with Asia? Because that is the only question that is being asked by Africans. Because you know what? The resources, the energy, and also the future potential in the continent of Africa. Interestingly, the point which was raised and should continue to be raised is the aspect of survival. Because one thing that if you read the development, especially in the context of political economy, you understand that Zimbabweans are not only defined by their sanctions, but they are defined by their resilience. If there is any country that can tell you resilience, or that can tell you survival during difficult situations, that is Zimbabwe. And it's shown in the character of Mnangagwa too, because somebody who studied, at one point he studied construction before he became a lawyer, and has been around for a very long time. And you see the seniority also say things out. And you also start to think, to say sometimes, you know, wisdom in Africa is also necessary, because the more age you have, maybe the more experience. But we are not saying they should stay forever. But you can also see in the panel discussion to say it's easy for you to make your points heard without offending anybody. Especially the case of Venezuela. And if you do not know Mnangagwa very well, there is a book written in the jaws of the crocodile. In Zimbabwe, they call him the crocodile, not in the bad way, but due to his survival skills and his ability to navigate the difficult political terrains. To say he may look like he's sleeping, but he's planning 20 years ahead. That's why he has always been the main advisor and the main ally of Robert Mugabe. But one thing that is very clear is that Zimbabwe was able to stand regardless of political conflicts or what happened, regardless of sanctions and unrest and all these things what happen. One thing that is must be very clear is that their platinum, their maize, once called the breadbasket of Africa, is still growing. And the prediction of IMF of 6% persisted in terms of development, to say, how come a country which potentially lost around $150 billion due to sanctions continue to maintain and stand? Things did not collapse. But maybe it's also the time to see what will happen moving forward. And one thing that you must know is that when sanctions came, it's not only the EU bank, it's not only the US, it's not only the international funders, but even our own African Development Bank was not giving Zimbabwe loans. But what happened? We see how things are going. And looking at Botswana, one thing that you can also get there is what Boko have said is, the President Duma Boko have said is the terms. And the terms that they deal with in relations to how they engage with the Chinese and also the whole world, to say, yes, there are terms and conditions that you have to be into. There are percentages too. There is a threshold that you have to get into, particularly in terms of resources and also doing business. And Africa choosing side, I think that is also not a debate that everybody should enter. Because when you start choosing side, then you start forgetting what you want. Because if what you want is it with A and B, why can't you get it without creating enemies? Because it's only Africa that is asked that question, to say, who is your friend? Say, no, they are not our friends. We are just in partnership like the way you are with us. But let's see. That is how things are happening. And also looking at maybe the extension of our goal. Maybe 2026 is going to be a beautiful year, especially with new development. And just imagine if there was no war in Africa, if there was no terrorism in Africa, if we had good governance structures, if there was no external influence, where would we be? But let's see what will happen, especially looking at that context, because this should not only be a presentation at a global stage, it will also be seen within the African values and also, you know, within the African people too, to say, where are we going? Who are our friends? Do we really need friends or we need trade partners? Do we need to divide people? And what is that need to be done? And looking at the global world order, it's very clear, especially international laws have pronounced themselves to say what have done, what happened in Venezuela is not correct, is not right. International rule-based world is not existing anymore. But those are the laws that keep human beings together. And without them, then it's going to be very difficult for the world to move forward. But let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll touch a little bit on petroleum amendment bills, especially the recent tabled amendment bill that you know, that will give him power. It's not only a debate about giving power to the presidency, but there's a lot of changes which are proposed at the newly amendment bill. And you understand that Namibia, we have discovered oil and gas, and that the Modestus presented this petroleum exploration and production amendment bill, and it's also up to us Namibians too to go into the conversation, because let us not just speak and say, no, somebody want to control this, but did you read the document? Do you understand things which are put there? Do you understand the process which is there? Because sometimes entering a debate without reading is the most dangerous thing, because you end up accusing people and you end up making a lot of mistakes and you end up pursuing a certain, you end up finding yourself in a certain political functions. But if you understand the details and also read to say what was that policy before? What was Petroleum Taxation Act 3 of 1991 before the proposed amendment bill? And it's really about putting oil under the presidency, or there is a lot of laws there. Because if we are not able to read between the lines, it's also going to be very difficult for us to make decisions. And I'm very happy that this bill is being presented. Maybe our lawmakers will be awakened. Because during the amendment of the Marine Act, during that time of Tate Shangara and Tate Essau, maybe they were not awakened up. But let us also not confuse the two, and also look at the intention of the bill, because when you see the debate being extended, you are already taught to say oil will take 20 years. Why are you saying David is going to benefit if 20 years is not going to be the one who is leading? And I think it's something that does require careful analysis, and also look at the intention too. Is it really a good intention? That's why it's good to read, it's good to understand, and also compare. Just take time and look at the Petroleum Taxation Act of 1991. Then you can scroll through, take your time, then you look at the new tabled one, proposed amendment bill, especially regarding petroleum. And what is the intention? The intention is transparency, which is presented there, to say it's transparency. And it's also to make sure that when it comes to petroleum, things are handled properly. But you also need to look beyond that, because the conversation should not divide us. It should bring us together to say, okay, bring your best argument and you want to see that in parliament, do not say me, David, Susanna, who. Look at the content to say what clause are we changing? Which one are we ending? Are we allowing this or not without looking at that? So let's look at the commercial break, then we move forward.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread, only 28 Namibian dollars 99 each, and 3 kg Polana elbow pasta for only 69 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Yeah, we are moving forward with early morning scoop, especially when you are looking at newly proposed amendment bill, especially looking at, you know, petroleum exploration and production amendment bill. And also to say, let us read, let us engage, let us also look at not only who is proposing the bill. Because if our discussion is who is proposing, who ought to benefit, then we are not doing it for the Namibians. The discussion should be, how is that going to be handled in the long term? How is that going to be handled in the long term? That should be the discussion, to say, did you read the act? Did you read the proposed document? What is your contribution into it? Because it's also very difficult if you reject something that you do not understand. First, read and understand and see what will happen. And this also, is, I think, is a test of time of our parliamentarians and also the public too, to say that are we ignorant or we are focused and understand the details. Because once you get the details, then you see to say what is the real intention, how is the process going to be done, and what is the explanation? Because bringing the best argument in parliament, we also see how parliamentarians are going to navigate through this. How are they going to bring their best arguments? Do we all understand? Because it's now the time, because people have been speaking about, no, for economy to move forward, we need the favorable regulations. The regulations are there. Let's see how it's going to work out. How it's going to work out. Because I'm also of the view that I'm not supporting an unconcluded argument. Arguments must be presented, but what is important is that at the end of the day, the resources should be handled properly. That is the intention. Whether the policies proposed by A or B, at the end of the day, is Namibia that has to make sure that oil is used to build our stadiums, to send our kids to school, and also to build smart trains, and also to take us out of poverty, to take Namibians out of poverty. Because one thing that we need to admit is that Namibians, we are very poor, and we need to admit that. And for us to move out of this poverty, we don't only need money. We also need to capacitate ourselves. We also need to move away from ignorance and read. Move away from ignorance and also understand how things are happening. And that's why that argument of Newry Amendment, you know, bill of petroleum, maybe just to read some of presented, particularly the power of the president. The president, especially when you look at subsection 3, the Principal Act amended by substitution for section 3 of the following section. Powers of the President. Number 1, the President shall exercise power under section 63, 1, 64, 65, 676, and 77 of this Act. Provide policy direction on upstream activities in Namibia. Appoint the Director General and Deputy Director General of the Upstream Petroleum Unit. Under Section 3B of this Act, the President may delegate the power. It's not a must. He may delegate the power entrusted in the President under Section 63, 1, 64, 65 to the Vice President, the Prime Minister, or the Director General, and shall not delegate the powers provided under Section 1B and C. In section 76, A and 77. Now, looking at some of the presented, especially the introduction of Director General of Upstream Unit, it's also quite interesting to look into this context. Maybe we should also end, because let us not reject the bill before we analyze them, especially those who we send to Parliament to represent us. They must communicate with people in the industry. They must communicate with the researchers. Maybe you can give an addition to say, okay, we give the president power to appoint the director general. Maybe you can amend it to say on the recommendation of a certain, like how things are being done. To say, what is the role of parliament in this, in the recruitment of a director general, for example? What is the role of parliament? Can we do it? Maybe you can also, look at how other parliaments have done things. To say, for example, in South Africa, when there's a recruitment of the public protector, the public protector has to go through interview of a parliamentarian, of a committee of parliament. Then the best candidate should be recommended to be appointed. People apply, then they go through, and people are seeing that. Maybe that is something that should be introduced to say, okay, we are giving power to the president, but let's have a process of scrutinizing and also not only vetting the DG, but potential candidate for the DG. Because at the end of the day, I have it in mind to say, the president have a good intention of, you know, taking us out of this, because sometimes we may reject something that was supposed to assist us without us knowing. And I'm not saying we should accept everything, but at least understand where we are coming from, because we have spent a lot of years debating. I'm not saying marriage acts are not important debates, but we did not have agency in the past years, especially about economic policies. Maybe that today or this year is going to be the time. And it's very interesting to see what will happen. So you can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And you have a right to exercise your democratic right. I'm not saying you should agree with my argument, but at least we must meet each other halfway, because what we want, we just want what is good for all Namibians. And I hope that is where we can all meet. Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How you say?
Fine.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right. Today was a different day.
A different day in terms of?
In terms of how you research and present those.
Yeah, unlike other days.
Yeah, today I think it was a different one, so to say, on my side.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I really learned, and therefore I don't want to dilute important thing. But I think what I have taken home is the violation of the international rules.
Okay. Rules. Okay.
Yeah, that really disturbs me. It's also disturbing the leaders. You have heard how they are raising those kind of concerns. And to position Africa strategically, I think we also need to promote those good values and also to promote Africa that we have so much to offer to the world.
Yeah.
And at least those other sides there, they should also respect, respect us and what we have so that at least they benefit. Bulldozing using their power to just do what they want. And it's not good enough. So let's do the cooperation. I mean, people should cooperate.
Yeah.
And do things in the benefit of all of us. So now they themselves, they just force their way in. And they, now they rate our Africa as ungovernable, Africa as not respecting the human right and liberty, which is not a good thing. They are the one who are actually violating those fundamental human rights, liberty. So it's necessary actually to really negotiate on good faith.
What do you think about Zimbabwe?
Yeah, no, I really love the way. You see, me, I haven't seen that the president of Zimbabwe really talking like the way he's talking this time.
No, he has been shining there. I look at his interview with most of the time with BBC. You understand the intelligence. He's handling questions very well.
Woo! I was so shocked.
Yeah.
I was very shocked.
Yeah.
So, and I really love the way he's presenting his thing, starting from how the Africa is in transition, and I was just impressed. So now that he is doing that, and you now also have added the issue of appointing, even those the one that we saw in South Africa being appointed, I mean interviewed. Now, the one that was appointed by the president was not interviewed.
Who was not interviewed?
The prosecutor, what you know? What is his name again? Is it Mobiti or Mobiti? The one that I thought you.
There is a difference. There is a public protector. Yes. Which is operating as like a busman in Namibia. Then there is also a director for public prosecution. Yeah, prosecution prosecution authorities like what it's like our PG.
Yes, that's the one that was now appointed.
Yeah, that one I don't know the process. What I'm sure about is the public protector.
But Ada also went for the interview. The president did not choose from those who were interviewed.
No, it depends on what the act is saying too. It depends on what the act is saying also.
It gives him the power to do so.
But what is your view on the proposed petroleum amendment bill?
Yeah, I haven't read that.
Yeah.
I'm just hearing it from you. So you have actually all just to read. Before we do some comments.
Yeah.
So I've not read, but I'm still now going to read them here and see what is there. But I believe if that is the way forward, so let's see, read them, give some our input.
Yeah.
But as for now, there's nothing that I can do. But even if it is the one that was for Sangala those days.
Yeah.
The one for Sangara those days. I read that everything was just actually good. It's just that they went to manipulate it and then do their other things. But in principle, everything was supposed to be right, that was supposed to benefit the people. But corruptively, I think they manipulated and they did their own thing.
So you are saying that the fear of fading in the past should not succumb us to
yes,
change.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm. So we still need to make sure that we take up some courage.
Yeah.
And do the right thing.
Mm.
So if that one wasn't done properly, let's do the right thing now, this time around.
Mm.
And I think it was also mentioned by the president of Zimbabwe there that, yes, so we should not be discouraged or delayed by some of those things that are happening, but we should also put more focus on how to really benefit and promote good values that take our people out of China has done. When you look at the relationship, that's why people are saying, that question was asked, which side are you and things like that? And it's very important that you treat all people on the equal footing.
And he made it very clear to say we are not here to please anyone. Yeah, to say we are not here for you. Yeah. To make you happy.
To make you happy.
Yeah.
So I love that sentiment. So I'm going to read that amendment bill.
Yeah.
So that they can have some insight and understanding in order to contribute better.
All right, thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, it's 31 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. You can engage us at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401. Is to say the failure of the past should not scare us or freeze us to do some changes. And let us read and see what will happen. Especially moving forward, because at the end of the day, it's our own country, it's our own resources. And if we have to think in a bigger picture to say it's 20 years, it's 30 years, it's 40 years, then that will also help us not to rush or to reject something at the face value. Because if we handle that amendment bill correctly, it can be our way through. Out of this poverty that we see, you don't know how much of the underground oil we have in Namibia. Maybe you are the next Dubai. Maybe you are the next Saudi Arabia of Africa. You don't know how much is there. And if we don't have a regulation, we are shooting ourselves on the foot. If we don't have a regulation, we are putting ourselves on the foot, because it's the first time that we're going to have oil and having that. I think the contribution of experts and parliamentarians, and maybe it's also now the time that parliamentarians should be awake and look at how to go through that act, and also to assist, because if we play the politics of ruling and opposition, we are not yet improved. This is a debate that is a national debate, and everybody is not about who is winning, who is losing. Because if things do not go well, or if it's not handled properly, then we are going to operate without anything. Because what has been lacking, and if you listen properly from public-private sector forum, and I hope this year Namibia should also have a public-private sector forum, so that we see what will happen. If you listen properly, one of the center of discussion was regulations, to say we may have resources, but we do not have regulations. We do not have regulation. Now regulations are coming. How are we going to handle regulations? And every economist role, every social scientist role, every engineer's role, every Namibian's role, to read and see where the country is going. Because that will be the definition of our future. But yeah, let's see how things are going to turn. Let's see how things are going to turn, especially from the sector of oil and the regulation frameworks. Should not only end at oil, we should also be a bit fast, especially the regulation should not only end at oil and gas, should go to critical minerals. Because as you look at discoveries of and the interest of critical minerals, the world is shifting, especially to critical minerals. And if those regulations are not handled, we'll find ourselves again moving backward, and we'll find ourselves again having some challenges, especially when it comes to dealing with the country's resources. Namibia is it's a very beautiful country with not only good people, but abundance of resources. You have underground water, you have uranium, you have tantalum. I did not even know that something like this existed, but it's one of the critical minerals. And everywhere. That's why you see people, when they are visiting our country, they want to get into, they want to be in the desert, they want to see what's happening. But it will be our greatest win if we get interest in traveling and also visiting places in Namibia to see resources and also to see the wealth of our country. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation. We have a good time until the hour of 8, especially when we are going to Michael Choveri, especially when he's going to unpack the day. And there's a conversation. It's a conversation, especially when it comes to the Orange Basin. It's a conversation when it's coming to Orange Basin, especially Namibia, South Africa, Lesotho, and other countries. Especially if you find yourself at, downstream of the Orange River, there are some developments happening there, and looking at News 24, it has been stated that the Department of Water and Sanitation says that Namibia is refusing to issue South Africa a no objection letter required for funding of Phase 2 of Lesotho Highlands Water Project. And, it's a conversation of water. A conversation of water, the control of water, and not only about water and about resources. A very critical conversation, and we hope that experts will be able to look into this, because I was reading it's an honors degree in law thesis. It's a research project, and one guy look at Namibia Law School, look at international law and the relationship between Namibia and in South Africa, particularly when it's coming to the Orange River and Orange Basin. It's not only a place of water, it's also a place of resources. But let's see how things are going to turn out, especially looking at that content to say, how do you handle water? How do you handle resources within the Orange River? And also, what is the position of government and how things should be handled, particularly looking at the win-win situation, because the discussion of water, if you look at Ethiopia and the Renaissance Dam, if you look at Egypt and Ethiopia, Eritrea and Ethiopia, like Nile River has also caused a bit of in and out push and pull, but countries navigated that. You look at the Panama Canal, and you understand how history is also teaching you the same, how to handle things neighbor to neighbor, especially from the economic point of view, to say why and when is that conversation going to be finalized. So let us go to a short commercial break, then we continue with the conversation, especially looking at local and international development in the context of Namibia. And I want to give you not the homework, just to look at things to say. If you look at what's happening in Singapore, in China, in Japan, in Venezuela, just take that case study and bring it to Namibia to say you are not immune to everything. Put it to Namibia and use this case study to say, how should Namibia navigate through this? If there is an economic crisis in Malawi, ask yourself a question to say, in the point of Namibia, what are the qualities that we are sharing with Malawi? And what can we learn? What are the policies of Malawi saying about their economy? Do we have similarity in the situation that you have a difficult situation in UK? Put contextualize it, because the world that you are looking into is the world that you are living into. Somebody who is in UK or looking at the world is looking at you in Namibia. And in most cases, we don't look at ourselves when we look at other people. And that is where the problem starting to say, to think that some problems are only happening in Botswana, but not in Namibia. It's not true. We are definitely, we are almost the same. Let us not be lied to by the colors of the, our skins. Human behavior is almost the same. If human behaviors can influence the economic policies in China and take the country from poverty, not even in 60 years, the same human behavior that we have can also apply to us to say, how can we contextualize that? What is one or two things that we can learn from the new China, the policies of Mao Zedong, especially when it's coming to development? What can we take? What can we take from the late Magufuli in transformation of Tanzania, where it is now, in terms of infrastructure development? Just take one or two, then you see. Instead of just saying, no, Namibia, we are all this, and calling each other's names, it's not going to work. But yeah, let's see how things are going to be, especially after a short commercial break, and we can move forward with the Early Morning Scoop. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 to indicate, to say, it's not about one conversational, one directed conversation, but it's also about educating each other. It's about giving each other points and also see how we can transform the debate and also economic development.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and AM.
Ifuraningi no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni mandu tuto ingida ashike kapeno mweko tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuali. Onongeshe fa ya pungwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Minuto o tukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe pa omaru de dayo loka oponi ushengife nawa nokumona oi jamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the RR.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the RR.
Yeah, it's 44 minutes past the hour of, seven. And, you are listening to everyone in Scoop. And, in the case of, Namibia and South Africa, you know, If you look at yesterday news, you understand that there is no green light given to phase two of the Lesotho Highlands water project. And the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform has confirmed that it has not given no objection to South African government for phase two of Lesotho Highlands water project. And in fact, it has not given the green light for phase two of Lesotho project, water project to be, constructed. Because you know why? We are at the downstream of the Orange River, and the disturbance of that water can also be a challenge, not only to our agricultural product there, but can also be a challenge also to the movement of resources underwater, and also the utilization of Orange River water. And, the ministry explained that in light of potential negative impacts on Namibia as a downstream riparian state, it was considered inappropriate that no objection not to be issued until concerned relation and anticipated impact of further development of phase two had been satisfactorily addressed. Namibia is part of the Orange Basin, which is mostly fed by the Lesotho Highlands. The country lies downstream of basin. This makes it vulnerable water project or uptake in the middle of high up the base, the basin. Now, looking at this context, one must be able to realize that relations of states and the geographical structures of countries define also their relations. Because if you are at the highland, I'm on a downstream, and you are blocking the water, then you are going to have a problem. And it's the same. In law, it's called, I think it's in property law, it's called the right to pass. To say, let me say, you have a farm. And for you to get out of your farm, you have to go through another person's farm. That person does not have a right to block that gate. Because that is also your right. You don't have that. And it's the same thing in simple terms. It's also happened when, give an example when you are in town and, the way the houses are built, the way your sewage is built or when you are pouring water, it has to go through somebody's house. Or when rain is raining, it's the responsibility of you and your neighbor to make sure that, water is not just staying in my yard, but making sure that there is an opening so that that water have to go through your house because you have a downstream and you don't need to complain because that is law which is governing, nature and geography. You know, some person are complaining to say, no, you are pouring water in my house and all these things. You are at a downstream and that's how things are working. And it also happened the other way. If you are blocking my water, even the structure of Kunene River, who has power over Kunene? Who has power over, Nai River? And all these things. That's why you see in the construction of Renaissance Dam in Ethiopia, there was a lot of discussion, a lot of arguments, and a lot of agreements too, to say you are only building at this level because this is not only your water. You are just geographically advantageous because, you are positioned there. But this is a natural thing. It also needs to go to other people. That's why there is a lot of agreements, particularly when it's coming to that. And in that context, I think our ministry have done a great job, especially looking at the no objection deal that is not given because sometimes we need to be very strategic on how to deal with resources and also how to protect our people. Because if you are not speaking, people are only using those resources to their advantage because water is a natural thing and cannot just be blocked like that. And, these are things that we see when Namibia is developing because we also have our ambitions of development. And sometimes we need to give credit where it's due, especially to our leaders who are protecting us And also help us navigate those terrains, particularly in terms of agreements, and make sure that in terms of challenges, discussion should be held, and Namibia should not be abandoned, because we are already late in terms of our developmental plans. We are already late in terms of Vision 2030, and we cannot afford to be delayed, especially in line with what needs to be done in terms of water and resource management. And we hope the conversation, because there was a commission on Orange Basin, I think I remember 2024, when there was a delegation from South Africa and which come and meet with Namibia delegation. I think that time is under Tatepea Mushelenga and Tatepea and Ronald Lamora, especially regarding water and Orange River. But let us read and look at the background of what have happened from 1990 to where we are and how we are navigating that relations. Because the moment we read, then we see what will happen. Good morning.
David.
Yes.
We are now independent. How many years? 32, is it 31?
No, we are in 2020, 36.
Yeah?
We are 36. Yeah. We are going to 40 now.
We are going to 40 now. So Botswana is 60.
Mm.
Okay. And I think, yeah, we are actually, I think we are doing a better.
Mm.
So in comparison to many other countries,
mm-hmm.
even though we just came out image from the colonialism and the apartheid system.
No, it should not be, that should not be used. Because you know what, No, just before you make your point, this thing of saying we are a young nation should not be used, because you know,
but, the president of Zimbabwe also used it as a, but it should not be compared to that.
Okay. Make your point.
I'm just saying that let's just drive more faster.
Yeah.
And then, so that you shouldn't be giving an excuse, but at least you can also give recognition with you. Yeah, but anyway, I think you shouldn't. Let's just do the best for us, especially when it comes to registration, regulation, and all these other things.
Yeah.
So to make sure that everything is fine. So thank you very much, man.
All right, cool. Yeah, I think that the conversation to say Namibia is a young nation can be young in terms of youth, but in terms of age, to say we got independence in 1990, and how old is somebody who was born in 1990, in 2026? If you have to put that on the scale, then you understand that by 21st March 2026, Namibia, we are graduating to become an adult. We are graduating to become an adult. If you have to personify Namibia, it's an adult. And looking at National Youth Council Act of 2009, indicating that a young person is between 16, a youth is between 16 and 35. If Namibia was a person in terms of youth fund at the initial phase, only that now is extended. You were not supposed to get a youth fund at an initial phase, although now it's extended to over 45, I believe. But in terms of where we are 36. And if you were a person who was supposed to be married already by that time, or planning on starting a family, because 36 is big. And if you have to analyze to say, okay, Namibia in the context of a person, if you are 36, what is that you have? What is that you have? Yes, you have free education. You have safety, you have peace, but do you have food? Not really. Yes, you have food, but from neighbors. Are you making your own food? Not yet. Do you have enough resources? Yes, you have resources, but are you handling them? Not yet. But we are 36. 21 March 2026. Be 36 years, and we'll continue to grow. And there is no excuse to say we just come from colonialism. Now, whatever happened after, this is saying to say whatever happened after 30 years, then don't talk about your background anymore, because you have enough time to blame people, to mourn, or you to do all the, those things. But after 30 years, why should we continue speaking about colonialism? And should that thing should end, because there's a lot of things that we can transform on our own. There's a lot of power that we have. And should not, yes, we must have a background. But what have we done in 36 years? We also define where we are going. But that is a conversation. That is a conversation. Especially looking at where we are going as a country. And also what we expect in 2026 to say. The debate of policy, particularly if you have to do an arrangement to say prioritization, also a matter to say policies which matters more than others, particularly economic policies, should be dealt with first and fast. PEGA Act should be finalized so we can see effectiveness of this, SOEs. It should be finalized and it should be amended correctly. Then you see who is going to have that power. Because if we keep on changing and changing, we will not have consistency. Because SOE in order means stable government. Because one thing that people are not giving credit, especially administration of Ramaphosa, is stabilization of SOEs. Stabilization of SOEs. That is one thing that we are not giving flowers to Ramaphosa. To say South African SOEs are not how they have been during ANC and Msholozi. They're a bit different now. Those years, people are in court every day. But now the court of South Africa is maybe different crimes, not like how it has been during the administration of Tate Zuma. Because if you look at a committee on, I think they call it the Pokane, it's on public, it has to deal with public service. It has to deal with not public service, but the public enterprises. And that is always headed by parliament in South Africa. There have been always a lot of chaos there. CEOs being summoned, financial directors being summoned, being questioned and all these things. But the way South Africa is now, and I'm shocked, I thought the load shedding would be a thing of everything. But with the Minister of Electricity, with Ramakgopa being there, Dr. Ramakgopa, and also key strategic people, not KEDA deployment. Because Ramaphosa coming from ANC background and business background understand that KEDA deployment can be good, but KEDA deployment without capacity can be the death of SOEs. But if you deploy somebody to an SOE who has capacity, that would be better, because you will be able to understand, differentiate between politics and good governance in corporate sector. But yeah, that is what's happening. That's why South Africa, being our big brother, we have a lot to learn from him. South Africa being our big brother, we have a lot to learn from him, especially the way they are managing their SOEs now, and also the way they were able to diversify their economy. And learn one thing or two, because if you are not able to learn, they are saying if you cannot be able to learn, it means that we are not able to change, and the change is the only permanent thing, which is quite contradictory. True, to say change is the only permanent thing in life, and if you are not able to change, then you are finished. Because you will not be able to survive the changes of time and changes of industry. So, dear listeners, we are almost at the end of our conversation. Thank you very much for always listening to your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. And continue listening to further programs. And we are leaving you in the good hands of the Big Mic to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye. See you. And shab-shab.